the Lord help us to commence with hymn 799. Man, bewail thy situation, hell-born sin once crept in, mars God's fair creation. Hymn 799. From God's holy word. First Psalm 23, and then the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Gospel according to John, chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not. But for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, But all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and help his servant to pray.
And the Lord teach us to pray. Almighty, ever gracious God, you grant us now that spirit of living faith to bow before thy holy throne in prayer. Thank you for thy word that has been read to us. We ask that thou wouldst make it to a spirit and life. May we be found among those that believe thy word to the saving of our souls. May it not be said of us, ye are not of my sheep. But may we be among those for whom thou hast said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Lord, put each one of us here in that little flock, and be unto us that good and that great shepherd of the sheep. We thank thee for thy mercies that bring us into thy courts, for the blessings of thy day, for granting to each one health and strength to be here. Now, Lord, we ask that as we have gathered, that thou wilt come and gather with us. We ask thy blessing to be upon us. Give unto us that spirit of worship, adoration and praise of thy great and holy name. Grant to us that spirit of repentance and confession for our sins and transgressions. And grant, Lord, that we might know that pardon and forgiveness that is found in thee. Lead us this day to that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Lead us to the Lamb of God, and by faith may we behold him suffering on our behalf. And then, Lord, by faith, lead us to that garden tomb to see thee rise triumphant from the dead. Lead us by faith to view thee at God's right hand, triumphing over thine enemies, there sat down at the right hand of the Father. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst intercede on our behalf today. May we have that faith to be able to worship Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as our God, as our Father and our friend. Give us, Lord, of thy Holy Spirit. Guide us, comfort us, keep us, defend us, teach us, correct us, prepare us for all thy will here below, and prepare us for eternity. Bless thy church throughout the whole world as it gathers today. Bless each of thy servants as they gather in thy holy name. Fill each empty vessel with the glorious gospel of Christ. And clothe with power and authority and unction and profit and sweetness the words of thy servants this day. Grant prayer in the hearts of those who hear. Call by grace those dead in sin. Bring into gospel liberty those who are under condemnation because of their sins. Bless this house of prayer. We affectionately commend each one unto thee. Bless the ministry of thy word here week by week. May the manna fall from heaven and the living waters flow. Bless the deacons of this cause and grant them thy help and thy blessing, and thy keeping care. Give them wisdom in their office and help them in the choice of the praises that are sung here week by week. And bless each member of this church. Unite them and keep them together. And grant them, Lord, to know much of thy blessing and help. May they know communion and fellowship one with another. Bless them in their church meetings. Give them wisdom to attend to thy business. Bless them around thy table. And bless, Lord, each member of this congregation, old or young. Grant, Lord, that they may be bound up together in the bundle of life of the Lord their God, none left out of thy church. Be with elderly friends, those in old age, weakness and weariness, those, Lord, confined to their homes. Grant them, Lord, to know thy great salvation. As the shadows of life lengthen, and as eternity draws near, may it be their one exercise and concern to be made ready for that judgment seat, which they must shortly appear the moment after death. And may thy people come down to the grave with a shock of corn fully ripe. Bless those who are in the midst of life with its burdens, concerns, needs, difficulties, trials, tribulations, as well as its encouragements and successes. Bless those in business life. Bless those in family life. May they be enabled to cast their cares upon thee. May they be enabled to bring those cares one by one to thee in prayer and to leave them with thee to manage. Grant wisdom, grace, discernment, and do appear in the various concerns of life that thy people here have. And bless the children and the young people in the dawn of life, those at school, those at college, those at university. Grant them success as far as is right in thy sight, in examinations, open doors for them in employment, give them homes to live, give them godly partners in life. Teach them, Lord, to love thy house of prayer, thy name, thy glorious gospel. May they be made pillars in this house of prayer in the years to come. Bless any, Lord, who need thee in any special way this coming week. Do appear for them. you have any, Lord, in conviction of sin, bring them, Lord, to that fountain opened. Bring them to the righteousness of Christ. Be with those, Lord, dead in trespasses and sins. Quicken them into life and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Be with those who need direction, those who need comfort, those who need deliverance, those who need more grace, more strength, more faith, more love. May this people prove, I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Remember our nation. Lord, do visit this land. Open the eyes of our rulers. Open the eyes of our fellow men. And Lord, open our eyes also. And grant there might be that united prayer for mercy, that turning away from sin, walking in the ways of righteousness. Lord, may we live to see better days in this nation, days when thy word is honoured in our land. Days when thy word is obeyed, when thy day is observed as it should be, when thy houses of prayer are filled to capacity and even to overflowing, when courses are opened instead of closed. Lord, give the faith to look for thine appearing in this our nation. And now, Lord, we ask thy blessing upon the Sunday school this afternoon. And bless the children and help them. And grant, Lord, that what they are taught week by week may go into good ground, that will in thy time bear a good harvest. Grant us now thy help as we come to thy word. Fill us with thyself. Grant thy presence near. And pronounce thy blessing from above. We plead for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 908. Saved is the sinner that believes, the sacred gospel annals show. To him repentance Jesus gives, and sin's complete remission too. Hymn 908.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help. We turn this morning to the 23rd Psalm, and the four words you will find in verse 5. Psalm 23, part of verse 5. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. The 23rd Psalm is probably the most well-known chapter in the whole word of the Word of God. It is a chapter that even many of the ungodly are familiar with. And yet the blessings it contains are for the sheep of Christ alone. If you and I are to know the blessings of this psalm, we must know the Lord as our shepherd. And if the Lord is our shepherd, we will then be his sheep. We will then be part of his little flock, under his protection, guidance, and provision. And one of the blessings of this psalm, as David comes to the end of it, as he can say, my cup runneth over. It overflows. My cup. Real religion is personal. A religion that saves is the dealings of Almighty God with your never dying soul. How many of us then have got real religion this morning? How many of us has God had dealings with? He had dealings with David, and those dealings were what enabled him to say with confidence, my cup runneth over. And what did his cup run over with? And what will your cup and mine run over with if we are members of this little flock for whom it is a good pleasure of God to give a kingdom one day, a kingdom of heaven? First of all, our cup will run over with mercy. All of God's dealings with his sheep are merciful dealings. All of his dealings with his sheep are dealings of sovereign love. This is loving mercy. And the cup will not be half filled with mercy. It will not be half filled with love. It will be so completely filled that it will overflow. It doesn't mean that you'll always feel your cup literally to be overflowing with the mercy and the love of God. But if you and I are found in this fold, whether we feel it or not, our cup will overflow with mercy. It will overflow with loving kindness. And what mercies does he make his children prove? First of all, in mercy he will show each and every one of this little flock in measure what it is to be a sinner in the sight of God. Perhaps you can't see the mercy in that. Some of you come to God's house feeling condemned, feeling guilty, trembling as you consider the moment of death and what takes place after it. Where is the mercy in that? He's emptying you that he may fill your cup with his pardoning mercy. But he'll empty you first. If the Lord did not have mercy upon you, he'd leave you to go on in sin, ignorant of its consequences. Ignorant of its offence. Ignorant of its pollution. And ignorant that it leads at last to hell. But because he has ordained, he will have sovereign mercy upon you. He has stopped you in your wild, mad career. He's brought you to this dead halt and he's shown you what it is to be a sinner. Every sin that you and I commit is an insult to Almighty God. Because it makes God a liar. If you and I really believed with all our hearts at all times what God has said that he will do with sin, we wouldn't play with it. We would flee from it. Even so-called little sins we would seek to have nothing to do with. Because we have in our hearts natural to us is unbelief that does not believe that God will do what he says he will do. We sin cheaply, easily, again and again. That's why sin is an offence to God. It insults His Most High. It is an affront. It is an act of treason. Because you and I owe to Him absolute total obedience. And one disobedience of His law will bring condemnation. Some of you are beginning to realize what it is then to be a sinner. God is beginning to show you the consequences, and you feel in your hearts what you never felt before, guilty. You tremble. As you consider that moment of death, my cup runneth over. And that is what is bringing you to cry for mercy. You are desiring that very thing which God has begun to show you. One of the fruits of God's mercy is that you'll cry for mercy. You'll seek it. You'll long for it. Yes, and you'll find it too. Christ has blessings to impart. Grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills His heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears. He is full, more full of mercy, more full of love, more full of kindness than you are of sin. And He will show you more mercy than you can ever conceive He will do. So keep on praying that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It hasn't worn out yet, nor can it ever do so. And if you've never prayed before, it would be a good prayer to start. To ask God to have mercy upon you. Because if God never has mercy upon you, you will at last sink into hell. That's where our sins will lead us. That's where our unbelief will lead us. That's where a life lived without God leads. And hell is a complete absence of mercy. Hell is a place where the inhabitants of it will seek with all their hearts for God's mercy, but will never find it. It's in this life that God has mercy on sinners. It's in this life He shows what it is to be a sinner and shows what it is to be a forgiven sinner. It's in this life that He leads one to see the preciousness that there is in Jesus Christ. What real religion you haven't got at the moment of death, you'll never have. It is vital then that we be found in these few words, my cup runneth over. mercy? And how does God, a holy, pure, sin-hating God, have mercy upon one who is so polluted with sin, so full of that which he hates? He has mercy through Jesus Christ and through him alone. It is the love and the mercy and the kindness that God has which sent his Son into the world. Be a man, a real man, a real body, a real soul, at Bethlehem we see love incarnate. As he who one day will be nailed to that cross, to suffer, bleed and die, you see him lying in that manger. The beginning, the work of salvation. Had he never been born, he would never have died. Had he never been born, there would be no hope for heaven for any one of us. But why does he come into the world? Why does he leave heaven at the right hand of the Father? That throne that he has occupied from eternity past. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us, "For God so loved the world." There we have it again, the cup overflowing. Doesn't say God loved the world, God so loved the world, the emphasis that he is full of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever liveth and believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And how is it saved through him? Well, as a man, before that as a boy, as a babe he lives. A life of perfection, a life of purity, a life without sin. A life pleasing to God the Father. A life acceptable to God the Father. Twice, once at the end of his private life, once at the end of his public ministry, we hear that voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father looks upon that whole life from that stable in Bethlehem to that cross on Calvary, and he is completely pleased with it. In every word spoken, in every thought that he thought in his holy mind, in every deed that he did, in every motive that governed his words, his thoughts, his deeds, his actions, totally without sin, pure, spotless and innocent. That righteous life was lived on behalf of this flock. Who can say the Lord is my shepherd? And if you and I are favoured to be part of this little flock, that life speaks for us in heaven this morning. When God the Father looks on each and every one of his sheep, when, child of God, God from his holy throne, through his holy burning eye, looks upon you, he sees the holy life of his Son, not your sin-polluted life. And he smiles upon you. And that is when your cup runs over with love and mercy and peace. That is when you enjoy peace with God. It's when you enjoy quietness in the soul. That's when you enjoy the power and the application of the promises of God, which give you the assurance that your sins are forgiven, that you have peace with heaven. You have a Father in heaven who has a love for you. You owe that to the life of Jesus Christ. God will only smile on you and me if we are found in him, because God cannot smile on the wicked. And just one unpardoned sin makes you and me among the wicked, let alone the countless sins that we day by day commit. What love filled the heart of the Father to send his Son into the world? What love filled the heart of the Son to come into the world and to live that life of suffering? That life of sorrow, that life of hardship. And what love fills the Holy Spirit of truth when he comes into the soul and reveals Jesus Christ to that one? As a friend of sinners, he never turned any case away that came needing mercy, needing help, needing something doing. Poor sinner, he won't begin with you. He may wait long to try your faith. But he will have mercy on you. He will show you kindness. He will show you compassion. He will make known to you his love. My cup runneth over. And then when he leads that soul to the cross, to that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, the cup then runs over, does it not? When you feel as you by faith see the Lord of life and glory suffering, bleeding, dying, see him there bearing the unpardoned sin of his sheep. And hear him say, by faith I suffered all for thee. Your cup then overflows with wonder, with love, with amazement, with peace, with quietness, with union with God. Everything that made that distance is taken away. Then you know the smile of God. My cup runneth over. The Lord Jesus Christ bore in his holy body and soul as he died the unpardoned sins of his church. Because this mercy, this love, this kindness is an uncompromising mercy, uncompromising kindness, uncompromising love. It will not compromise with the holy justice of God. Sin must be dealt with. Sin will be dealt with. And those who are favored to be in this little flock, their sins were transferred from them onto the holy body and soul of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And he bore the weight of that unpardoned sin as if he had committed every one of those sins. What sorrow it caused him. You just have to read the previous psalm and you get a glimpse of what our Lord went through. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He bore such anguish, such darkness, such loneliness, such sorrow upon that cross. The child of God, your cup may run over with love, with mercy, and with kindness. That in heaven above your cup may run over. Our Lord Jesus Christ felt forsaken, left alone with the sins of his church, left alone with the sting of the law of God, condemning, left alone with a roaring devil, left alone with those wicked that encompassed and surrounded him. Left alone with the anger, the almighty wrath of Almighty God. My cup runneth over. Never forget, child of God, the cross of Psalm 23 being written and of it being applied to your conscience. The cost of our Lord Jesus Christ was immeasurable. His cup ran over with sorrow, with misery, and with grief. The Father did not show mercy upon him that your cup may run over with mercy. The Father dealt with his Son in exactly the same way as he would have dealt with you and with me. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore an innumerable number of sins from that innumerable company of sinners who are to be saved by grace. What a debt, what a weight. But he triumphed, never forget that. He wept, he bled, he died for you, but he triumphed over Satan. He defeated Satan at Calvary. He satisfied the demands of a broken law. He completely, perfectly, absolutely and totally finished to the highest possible excellent standard that was demanded of him, that work he was given to do. And the proof of that is the empty tomb. Had one sin which had been laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ not been completely atoned for, he would have remained in that tomb. But Christ is risen from the dead. And now ascended into heaven. Child of God, you can rest this morning. In the words of our Lord on the eve of his suffered, I go to prepare a place for you. That place is heaven. He's gone before his people, returned and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming again to receive each of his children to glory. He comes again to take the child of God home at the end of life. And he will come again on that last great day. To take home to glory those who are living upon this earth at that time. My cup runneth over. Yes, your cup runs over with mercy. When he deals with you with rebukes and corrections, when he lays upon you that cross, that thorn, that affliction, in mercy he rebukes. In mercy he corrects. and he may restore your soul. That you might be separated from sin, that you might be sick of your sin. That you might be brought to see more of your own vileness and wretchedness, and more the preciousness that there is in Jesus Christ. My cup runneth over. Thank him then for his rebukes. Thank him for his corrections. They are as much a token of God's favour toward you as the promises, as the encouragements, as the blessings, as the peace he gives. If he didn't rebuke you, it would be because he didn't love you. His chastening therefore prized the privilege of a saint. Their hearts are too hard who this despise, and theirs too weak who faint. My cup runneth over. Child of God, facing the end of the journey of life. Fear not the valley of the shadow of death. Even there will your cup run over. The same love, the same mercy, the same kindness that has followed you all your journey through up till now. The righteousness of God's Son, the precious power in that blood, will be just as powerful when you come down to die and when you need it most, as it has always been. And though you cannot and will not die a perfect death, yet you can rest in this, that though the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for you, he in himself died a perfect death. He never sinned even upon that cross. And so if when you come down to die you are plagued, the sins that you commit on that last day of your life, may you be enabled to look higher. Your salvation doesn't rest upon you. It rests upon Christ. You're safe in his hand. That wise hand. That almighty hand. That loving hand, that hand that is too wise to be mistaken, too good to be unkind. My cup runneth over. If David's cup ran over here below, how much more is it true for David, where he is in glory now? And how much more will it be true, child of God, when you're called home? Your cup then will run over to a far greater capacity than it does here. There you will know, not by faith, but literally, the presence of your God. There you will hear literally with your ears the voice of the love of God to you. There you will literally see the smile of God for you. There you will enjoy the communion, the fellowship, the company, the presence of your triune God forevermore. And there you will see that Lamb that is in the midst of the throne, as it had been slain and is slain no more. There you will see the price of your pardon, those wounds. And with your cup running over, will you join that everlasting song and crown him Lord of all, unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin in his own blood, be glory. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here below, he's giving you grace. He's giving you mercy to live to his glory and honour. He's giving you that faith to trust in him, to obey him, to follow him. All that he'll crown at last with glory. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold that land that is very far off, and when they do, your cup will run over. And you will be lost in wonder, amazement and love that Almighty God could show such sovereign love and kindness to one who was such a guilty sinner, one who was so unworthy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You may feel to be the chiefest of sinners, but take that word and plead it before God. He came to save the chiefest of sinners. His blood is powerful enough to save the chiefest of sinners. His righteousness is enough to cover the sins of the chiefest of sinners. Then ask him to bring you in there. And he will. My cup runneth over. These then are the blessings of those who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. These are the privileges of the sheep. May we be found among them. May we not be found among those of whom our Lord said, ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. Unbelief will lead to hell. It's a sure, certain fact. You and I are found among his sheep. What will be the evidence? My sheep, hear my voice. They recognize that voice as a voice of the shepherd, the authority, the power, the love. They trust that voice. My sheep, hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. May we be found among that flock. May we bring forth those fruits of the flock, to hear the voice of the shepherd and to follow in his footsteps. My cup runneth over.
collections last Lord's Day were £625, for which we are very thankful. God willing, the Sunday school today will be at Bethany. Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parrish next Lord's Day, who hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And God willing, there will also be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day morning. Let us close with hymn 209. Grace like a fountain ever flows, fresh succours to renew. The Lord my wants and weakness knows, my sins and sorrows too. Hymn 209.
Grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.